This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher's Keys. Hello there. How are we? This is the Out of Bounds podcast. My name is Adam Jabber, and I hope everybody is doing well. This is Megan Dingman's episode. If you don't know who Megan is a pro skier. She is a super nice human being and a whole bunch of other things. We talk about, as you might imagine, skiing. And, like, honestly, just this is a great episode. I really, really had fun on this one. And I can't say enough good things about Megan. So I'm sure you guys will feel similarly. That's always been difficult for me to say. Similarly. Before we jump into that episode, I just had a couple quick things I wanted to talk to you guys about. One, as you may or may not know, Adam Sauerwein is going to be hosting his own version of the podcast. We yet to be named. Starting basically beginning of February, the first Wednesday in February, I think is the plan. It'll be Wednesdays going forward, maybe Fridays if Wednesdays aren't what we're looking for. And he's going to do, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 more episodes. Not in place of me, just in addition. So you'll get more people, more conversations, more content coming out of the whole Out of Bounds network. That has previously basically just been me and Ethan. In addition to that, speaking of more Out of Bounds type stuff, Fast and Loose is out now. It's a new series that we've been doing for the last month or so, with the U.S. ski team and Hallie O'Brien at the Snow Report. Basically, we're just taking to Instagram Live. We are having conversations with some of the U.S. ski and snowboard team's best athletes. We have had Paula Moulton so far. It's also Ian Blanc has been on, Gus Shoemaker was just on. All of these are available on the U.S. Ski and Snowboard website. If you just go to news and, or you just search Fast and Loose, you can watch all of the previous episodes there. It's been really fun. I hope you guys have been enjoying it. If you've been watching, if you haven't been watching, go watch now. That's the ticket, really. Go watch that thing as it comes out. We'll put out more information on the show. We're trying to do a better job of promoting it. The first couple were kind of like soft launches, but we're going forward with it. It's a ton of fun. I'm really enjoying it, so I hope you guys are as well, or I hope you guys will if you haven't yet. So keep an eye out for that. What else? Oh, yeah, sponsor stuff. Setwatch Hemp is today's sponsor. As you may or may not know, if you've been listening to the show for a while, Setwatch has been one of our best supporters and most consistent supporters. They are great people, and just as importantly, they make great product. In a day and age when there's like a million CBD companies, this is one that I fully support. This is one that supports us, and it's one that works. They have a whole bunch of different products, including salves, like the little rub-on stuff. They have tinctures, which are like little dropper type things. They have soft gels, so like if you're a good supplement taker, those are the best. Honestly, for me, the salve is my favorite, or the salve, or somebody should like email me an audio recording of them saying salve or salve, and then we can discuss what the proper way to say that is, because people have already yelled at me about it. So it is what it is. Point is, that stuff is the best. If they made a bath of that and it didn't burn your, you know, nether regions or your eyes, I would bathe fully in that stuff. It's so good. It makes a huge difference, especially if you're skiing all the time, riding bikes all the time, whatever you're doing all the time. This stuff definitely helps. Soreness, aches and pains, all that good stuff. So you can go to www.sawatch.co and use promo code OUTOFBOUNDS to save 15% off on your purchase. And I think that's pretty much it. Please leave us a review on iTunes if you get the opportunity. Always helps people find the show, and lets me know that you're listening. So show some love there. If you can, scroll to the bottom, leave a 5-star review, Let me know what your thoughts are. Let me know how I can, I don't know, do whatever. If you want to go skiing, let me know. Let's go skiing. Obviously, socially distance and blah, 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 blah. Like, all that stuff. We know. This is the thing. This is the life we live now. But if you want to go skiing outside with masks on, I'm super down. So let's do it. Without further ado, here is Megan Dingman. Megan, who are you? Tell people a little bit about yourself, and we'll go from there.
All right. Hi, everyone. My name is Megan Dingman. I am 23 years old, and I am a professional skier.
How and why and when did you become a professional skier, and like what made you choose this direction for your life? Because you're not particularly old to be making a decision like that. And I'm imagining, like, I don't know, when you were like trying to figure out your life, was this the first thing that you wanted to do?
This question kind of bugs me because, I don't know, everyone's like, don't compare yourself, and I try not to, but I wasn't like young and like watched ski movies and was like, I want to be a pro skier. I definitely decided when I was in my kitchen. It was my dad's kitchen, actually. And I was like, I'm bored.
And you were like, okay, cool. I want to be a pro skier now.
Well, kind of. I was like kind of emailing some people and people were like, no. And I was like, okay. And then I looked at my dad and was like, Dad, I want to be a pro skier. And like all my siblings kind of like were quiet for a second and they looked at me and they're like, what does that mean? I don't know.
I kind of struggle with that too. Like, I don't really understand what that means fully.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's one of those things where, like, I don't think there's, like, a moment. Maybe I've talked to some people and they're like, once you get paid, that's when you're, like, really a pro skier. And I was like, I don't know, you know. So I think the line is definitely pretty murky, at least it is for me.
Yeah, but it's pretty murky, I feel like, for everybody at this point. I remember, like, a long time ago, I had Chris Davenport on, and he was like, you're only a pro if you're paying for your kids' college tuition with it. And I was like, that does, I don't know that that makes the most sense, because, like, what if you don't have kids? How do you find the barometer for being a professional? And he also, like, qualified. It was like, more bills and blah, 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 blah. But I don't necessarily think that's true. I think when you get paid legitimately and people are like, you're good at skiing, ski for us, here's money, I feel like makes you a professional. And if that's your job, if you're like not being a skier as your job, maybe you're not a pro skier.
But maybe not, yeah.
Maybe not. I mean, who knows? So
yeah, who knows?
You decided in the kitchen. What age were you when you decided in the kitchen?
I think that was like a year and a half ago.
So not very long ago at all.
No.
Okay, what's your skiing background up until that point?
As I feel like a lot of people might have guessed, but I was a racer, of course. And I grew up, well, I'm from Park City, so I grew up on the Park City ski team. Around my sophomore year of high school, I switched to Romark. And then from Romark, I went to St. Michael's College, which is in Vermont.
Yeah.
And I raced for them for 2 years, and then I transferred, so I'm actually finishing up school at the U right now, or the University of Utah. No one knows what the U is.
Yeah.
I pretend people know.
The U to everybody else in the world is just a university, just mm-hmm. so you know.
And they're like, what are you talking about? Like, you don't know.
That's kind of crazy. Like, that's a very short amount of time to be like, I want to do this. I think I can do this. What gives you, I don't know, like, what puts you in the right mindset to just be like, I can totally do this. Like, that's a big jump to just be like, I'm skiing in college and now I'm going to do this thing. And I just decided not long ago.
Totally. That makes zero sense. I skipped like 20 different steps.
That's kind of what I'm saying without saying you skipped a bunch of steps. But if you're killing it. So, like, I think that's good.
Thank you. No, yeah. Okay, I'll back up. I loved soccer. I loved soccer so much. And I was so not that good at soccer as I was compared to skiing. Like, it was just obvious. And in high school, I played for a club team, and I was doing really well in ski racing, and my coach, my soccer coach, had pulled me aside and was like, hey, Megan, like, listen, this is getting to be a lot for you. And I, like, had won some, like, race and won money, and he was like, you're never gonna make money in soccer. Like, you should probably just stick to skiing. And I remember I was, like, so mad. I was like, how could you ever say this to me? Like, I try so hard, like, blah, blah, blah. And so I continued playing soccer, and I had chosen St. Mike's because I could play soccer and ski at the same, like, at the same school. And St. Mike's was still D1. So I was, in my mind, I was like, I get the best of both worlds. And so I had to walk on or try out to be on the St. Mike's team, and somehow I made it. And I just didn't really, like, vibe with the soccer team. So after, I mean, and it just, my priorities were at skiing, and I got along with the ski team a lot better. And so I quit soccer after my freshman year. And then after my sophomore year of skiing, I went abroad, and I was the only person on my, like, abroad or my ski team to go abroad. And when I was abroad, I was, like, able, I went to Nepal, and I was able to, like, really take a step back and kind of see what I was doing. Like, I was taking out loans for school, and I really wasn't skiing that well. Like, I had a lot of success in high school, but when I went to college, I was like, there's just so much pressure that I'd put on myself. Like, no one else was like, hey, Megan, like, you really need to do this. It was, like, all in my head, and it just wasn't fun anymore. And when I was, like, actually able to remove myself, like, I had to go to a different country to figure that out, but, and just kind of be like, hey, like, I'm not really happy here. So I transferred back home, and then I got a really weird text from Sierra Schaefer, the chief editor at Powder, who I'd met coaching for Lindsay Strange and Marcus for their camp called Party Ski Camps, which is a really cool ski camp. And I met her through those people, and she was like, hey, do you want to come test at Powder Week and test skis? And I was like, sure. I've never skied on a powder ski before. Yes. The answer is yes. So I flew out to Red Mountain Resort, and I had just met a lot of, like, reps there. And that's how I kind of got, like, the in the industry. Mm. And then I, another, like, extremely pivotal moment was the very first run of the day of the trip. You know Rachel Burks?
Yeah.
Yes. She is an absolute legend in my mind, and I'm sure in
everyone
else's. For
sure. For my, yeah, in mine too.
She's the ultimate G. And
she's a badass. She's an absolute badass.
So badass. And the very first run, like, I knew who she was. I saw her in the airport, but I didn't want to say anything that I was, like, a big fan. And I was, like, scared. But the very first run, she comes up behind me, and I was skiing with this other girl, MJ. And she was like, okay, like, you go first. You want me to go first? Like, all right, like, I'll go first. And I get down to the bottom, and, like, she skis up behind me, and she's, like, freaking out. She's like, oh, my God, like, you rip. And I was like, I had to check behind me because I couldn't believe that she was talking to me, because in ski racing, like, everyone's really good, and, like, everyone can turn well and, like, whatever. And I was, like, so shook that she was talking to me. And it was so cool. She's the coolest person. And I really got the in with Dina Star from her. So
very cool.
That's how, like, my, like, pro skiing came about full circle.
Do you ever think about, like, the specific things that happened to you that kind of put you in the right place at the right time to kind of make these kind of things happen?
Totally. And I, like, I think I've asked every single person that I'm, like, close to, I'm like, do you all think that things happen for a reason? And I get a lot of yeses, and I definitely get a lot of no's, and I'm so utterly confused.
I think it does. Like, I think it has to happen for a reason, because there's so many things that just happen and they all line up, and then you're like, oh, cool. Like, this is working out. Oh, how is this working out so perfectly? Because no, it's opportunity totally a lot of times too, right? Like, I don't know. That's awesome. Like, Sierra texting you, like, that's a huge thing. And it's just a text, but it, like, brings you to all these different things just from a text message.
Totally. I definitely agree. And I like to think that things do happen for a reason. And like those series events, looking back on it, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe like I woke up there and that happened to me, because it like, it's unbelievable. And like, even last year, I like still have to pinch myself because I'm like, this can't be real. Because I think in ski racing, if you're not winning and only one person can win, you're like, for me, I'm sure so many people have way tougher mindsets than me, but I was like, I suck. And it's just truly not the case. But I was just got a, like really held up in this circle of my own despair.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's ski racing, and I've shit on ski racing a little bit much for my like I don't mean to, because I think there's so much value there, and I think it's awesome in so many different ways, but there's so much of it that like is limiting, right? And that's why so many people have this like, they have this huge career after ski racing that, you know, you look at them as a ski racer and you're like, they were a good ski racer, but you know, who cares? But then you go and you see them as a skier and you're like, they rip, they absolutely shred. So
yeah,
I think that part's really interesting. And I think I've said this before too. I think it 100% makes better skiers, without a doubt, because you have so much time on hill. You have so much time practicing technique. How can't that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's definitely like embedded in you to the very core, just from a young age. And you can tell, like, at least me personally, like, I guess I'm picky with turns because that's what I know. So for me, I can really tell if a person ski raced by their turn and if they didn't. Which is like interesting. I guess I pay attention to the turn a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And that over the last few years has become a super popular part of the conversation in skiing. It used to be just like, oh, big lines, like skiing this thing, skiing that thing. But now people actually talk about, you know, the style of turn, turns being cool, like just going out and ripping groomers being cool, like that being a fun part of skiing. Which I like, because that's what we all do most of the time, because like the skiing is not always good, especially on a year like this year. It seems to be bad everywhere.
Definitely.
So how did you end up in Utah? I obviously, like, you got on a plane, you went to Utah, but like, why did you go to Utah? Like, what was the plan there?
I'm from Utah. I was born in Seattle, but moved to Park City when I was one. So I just didn't know anything else.
So you're like, let's go back to where we
started.
Yeah,
let's go back home. And I think it really took me leaving Utah to realize like what I had. And St. Mike's is in Burlington, and I was skiing at Stowe and Smuggs, and they're really cool places, but just for me, I was so used to, I'm so lucky, but like walking out my door and being like, okay, where am I going to ski today? What am I going to do? And I didn't have a car at St. Mike's, so I was just running everywhere. Just like, wait, I couldn't run.
Just running everywhere.
Yeah. Like, I didn't have a car, and you know, most of my freshman friends, this was especially freshman year, didn't have one either. So I was just going long runs to like wherever I wanted to go. And if I needed a car, I'd ask a friend, but I couldn't run to the mountain. And that was really like, I couldn't get there. That was my problem.
So you're saying Utah has bigger mountains and better mountains, and Utah's better than Vermont. Is that what you're getting at here?
No, sir. Your words in my mouth. I think Vermont has a charm to it, and it's a very beautiful place. I think I'm a homebody, and I was taking out a lot of money for loans, and I was like, what am I doing? And I loved Vermont and I loved my friends, but ultimately I was like taking out too much money, and I was like, I miss home.
And that also was, like, it is worth mentioning, and these are my words, not yours, Vermont has shittier snow than Utah. Like, point blank, there is not as good skiing in Vermont as there is in Utah. Anybody who says differently
is wrong.
Can fight me. Like, there's no way. There's pound no some sand. There's just, yeah, go pound. There's no way. I love Vermont. I really, really do with all my heart. There's no chance that there's better skiing in Vermont than there is in Utah. So
I think
has to play part of the decision, right?
Totally. And the snow's so hard. I skied where I'm there once, and I think I like fell three times on one run. I was like, what's happening to me? And then I go back there and I'm like, I can't ski. Yeah. Everyone's like, the snow's hard. Here's a snow glide. I'm like, what's a snow glide? Yes, it's a lot fluffier in Utah.
Yeah, it's a different experience. So have you thought about what you want your career to be? Like, have you gotten to that point yet where you've kind of, I don't know what people do as pro skiers to like, to get to the next step. Is there a formula to it? Do you have goals for the season? Is there something that you're looking forward to achieving? Are you like, oh, if I get to this sponsor, or if I do this thing, I'll be happy with my, do you do that?
I like think there's something wrong with me. I kind of like take it as it comes, and I have goals for this year and everything. I am graduating, hopefully, if I get into this one class. If my advisor listens to this, please help me. I only have two more classes left to take.
Okay.
So I'm going to graduate, hopefully. And I have an internship right now. I work at a restaurant during the night, but like skiing does help me in some of my income, but like, I don't know how anyone does it. And if there's a formula, like, please someone tell me, very anxious to know that, but, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I think that really bothers me because a lot of people do make it work. And I think it was Madison once told me that she was like, Megan, like lifestyle keeps the lights on. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think right now my time is a little bit limited and I don't know what the future holds for me. I think skiing is a dream and a passion, and I hope that I can make it work. But I also know that I have like my education to fall back on, if that makes sense. And no, I'm
it
like,
totally makes sense.
A little lost in that regard. And the only thing that like, or I have a lot of friends who have taken like a couple years off and then gone back to school or, you know, settled down then. And that's what I keep telling myself. I'm like, okay, Megan, like in 2 years, we're going to reevaluate. Like if you want to go back to grad school, like that's an option, or maybe if I get in, but like, I'm just kind of taking it as it comes. Like, I really do want to be a pro skier. I really like expensive sweaters. So,
so you're looking for a reason to wear expensive sweaters.
Yeah. And I'm like all over the place. I think skiing being my profession full time is a dream and it's a goal. And in 2 years, like, we should probably reconvene and see where my head's at. But that's kind of where I'm at right now. Just kind of taking it as it comes.
Yeah. And so much of it is weather dependent. And so much of it is what's going on in the world dependent too.
Totally.
And that's got to be a scary part of it. But it's got to be nice to know that you have your education to fall back on. You have a backup plan, because a lot of people don't have that option. They just have the hope and the dream that something's going to work out and not much else.
Yeah.
So I think that's got to be a nice thing for you. I don't know. I don't always love when people are like, oh, here's a backup plan. I think you just go for it, like, and then see what happens. The take it as it comes thing is 100% to me the way to do it, especially in this industry, because nothing makes any sense. Nobody makes any sense ever, and nobody's consistent. It just is like stuff just happens, and that's the thing that I've kind of realized too, is like stuff just happens all the time, and you're like, how did that guy get there? And it's because it just happened, or like this exactly, thing just yeah. And it's how you take advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah, totally, I agree.
So, what's your plan this season? Do you have what's the goal? What are you looking to achieve? Because obviously, weird year, blah, 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 blah. We've heard the story a million times, but what's your goal for the season?
I have three I can like think off right off my head. One is just like to have fun and take it as it comes, and you know, and just really enjoy it, because skiing, as I try to ski every day, but it's a privilege and sometimes it's hard to get out of bed. But once I'm there, I always have fun. So that's like a goal of mine, to just like enjoy it, because nothing's for certain. And then I have a project with Berks, actually, that I just finished this thing that we needed for, like, literally right before you called me. And I'm really excited about that, just because of COVID. I'm sure you know, but, like, a lot of companies are like, stay where you are. And I'm lucky that Berks and I are just kind of in the same place. So we have something coming together. And I just have goals to shoot as much as I can.
When is it coming? What is it like to talk? You can't just like dangle the carrot and then not say anything about it.
But I love doing that. No, I'll tell you. So we are going to put together a video that's about just like mentorship and friendship and essentially just like what skiing is at its core. And I'm really excited about it. And I'm really excited to learn from Berks, because she pushes me, and she's just very special in that way. So I'm really excited, and hopefully it'll turn out.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, there's so many awesome skiers in the Wasatch that you have to, that's got to be a main reason to be back home too, right?
Totally. Yeah. That was not really my thinking, because I was so in the race world. Like, I didn't own a pair of powder skis, like nothing.
Right.
But once I came home and kind of started, I had good connections from racing, because the two are intertwined in a way. But there's so many power horses and a lot of like really cool ripping girls in the Wasatch right now, which is super cool. But yeah, there's just so many connections in the Wasatch, which is very advantageous for someone in my position. But the Wasatch is a good place to be.
Yeah. Okay, we should do some questions, because there's a lot of them. And then Madison actually just DM'd me about 100 more. So we're not going to do all of hers for sure. We're not going to do all of anyone's, because there's a bunch of them. But I do want to ask you at least, you know, a good amount of them here, because I think a lot of people are excited to hear you talk. So let's see what we got. I like, one of these days I'm going to have these prepared ahead of time, like read them and be organized. But Ella Dingman, who I'm assuming is a relative of yours, wants to know, what's your favorite mountain to ski? That's an easy one. We'll just knock that one out.
I've only really ever skied in the country, so Alta is definitely a favorite of mine. And then I went up to Alaska and skied for a Sick. race, but it was just really pretty, so
that counts for something.
Yeah.
Aaron M. Spong wants to know, what's one aspect of skiing you're not confident in that you want to continue working on?
That's really interesting. I have all of my life learned to keep my feet on the ground. Just in ski racing, right? If you go over a jump, it's, you press it, like you don't want too much air. So I've been working on like getting more airtime and practicing my stunts. So those are some things that I'm pretty poor at that I'm working on.
Do you have a stunt that's evaded you that you're like looking forward to?
I don't say I'm looking forward to any of them, because I think I'm like scared of them. Are you? But like, yeah, a little bit. Like, I did my first backflip last winter, and it was scary, and I was so stoked, and I feel like I'm still riding off. Yeah, and I'm looking forward, or I'm scared and looking forward to do that. And I just got my 360 down, kind of, and I'm also scared of that, but I'm also looking forward to it. It's kind of, you know, those like butterflies that you like need to do and you're excited about, but you're also like terrified and you might like shit yourself. It's like one of the balance, you know.
Yeah.
It's those things.
Such balance. Yeah. Thornmerrill 1 wants to know, what do you know about turkey tossing? What is turkey tossing? I'm assuming it has something to do with tossing a turkey, but beyond that.
Well, I am the queen of the turkey toss.
Okay.
It's not self-proclaimed, I swear.
You have like a tiara or like a crown or whatever.
I have a WWE, is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah. Sick.
Wrestling belt.
Very fun.
I have one of those, so.
Okay, this is legit.
This is legit. So this came from Rachel Burks, host. Rachel Burks. She hosts the Billy Pool Foundation, which is a really, really cool foundation that helps kids from a local high school in Montana get on the mountain at Discovery Mountain. So it's this really cool event that, she brings professional skiers down for the weekend and we ski with these kids. And there's one night where we have a frozen turkey toss. And so everyone piles snow up in their trunk beds and we shovel it out and pour ice on it, or not ice, water to make ice. And you take a frozen turkey and you just huck it down this alley as hard as you can. And I'm freaking out because there's like all these super cool, super strong people. Like Julian Carr walks up and like throws his turkey so hard, and it's separated by guys and girls. And Burks is ripped and she throws it super far, and everyone's cheering and I'm terrified. And Burks is like, "All right, it's your turn." And I'm like shaking in the knees, and I just go up and I toss the turkey, and somehow I won. And I don't know if I was too happy to win because everyone's like congratulating me, and I'm like, I didn't want this. So I have this massive WWE belt that's just in my closet, and I was supposed to, you know, this year, if COVID didn't happen, I was going to give it to someone else, but I guess I'm 2-year champ. So.
This can totally happen. What is preventing throwing a turkey down an alley? Like, I'm so confused.
It's just like the event. It's the skiing with the kids. It's the...
I'm so confused. Okay. Oh, foundation. Yeah. The whole thing can't happen. Okay. All right. Yeah, I get it. I was like, throwing the turkey seems like it should be able to happen. Like, that seems just like a decently socially distanced event.
I totally agree, but it's like the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very special.
Well, congrats on
thank you.
Late
thank
congrats you. On your win.
Thank you so much.
All right. Apparently, a lot of people think you're cool.
That's
somebody so wants to know, who is your favorite Lebanese friend in college? You're Lebanese?
No, I'm
or
not.
He is. This person
he is.
Alex Mobot. Yeah, I guess so. All right.
He is.
All right. Well, I don't know if that's a odd question to ask. All right, Alex. What else? Who is faster in... Oh, sorry. This is you auto follow. Who is faster in a ski pole slalom course? You or a fifth grader? What is a ski pole slalom course? What are these things that you guys are doing? Why? What are
these
events?
Dude, this is boot camp in Utah. Get out here.
I was there this time last year. Nobody made me do, and the year before, and nobody made me throw turkeys or run through ski poles.
Clearly you're doing something wrong.
Apparently I'm hanging out with the wrong people.
A fifth grader is definitely faster than me. That's what happened. I talked to some kids over the summer about skiing, and oh my gosh, it was so funny. No one listened to me. And then I had asked one girl, I was like, okay, like, do you guys have any goals? And they're 5 or maybe they were like 9. I don't know the difference, but they were like, yeah, like our dreams. And one girl was like, to bring my dead dog back. And I was like, I don't know what to say to you. I'm so sorry. Like, I wish this day did not happen. But anyways, I was like, okay, everyone, like, come outside. And we just stuck lakey poles in the ground and had these kids, like kind of slalom run past them. And we timed it because I have to add a little bit of competition. And I think every kid beat me. And I was like, all of these fifth graders are so good.
They're agile. Yes. They're very, yeah.
They're so agile and small and.
All right. So I'm missing out on a lot of events. I got that part here. Somebody pro call outed you.
What does that mean?
Have you seen NAR?
Oh.
It's like, I can't believe you're a pro. I'm so much better than you. Somebody. James Rauch 3. I don't know who these people
James
are.
James Rauch 3. You got me.
You got me. You beat her. Let's see. What else? Somebody just said snowboards. What? I don't know what these questions are.
I don't know what questions.
Yeah, questions. All right. Let's go to Madison question here because she's got so many. Madison. How many box jumps can you do in 60 seconds?
Madison and I have the record at the school. We're tied at our high school. We both can do 71 box jumps in a minute.
71?
Yeah.
I was expecting it to be like 4 or 6. Not 71.
People, please send me your box jumps records. We are unbeaten. So
this should be like a challenge. This is a good Instagram challenge item here, I think. How many box jumps can you do in a minute? No chance. Can I do? I don't think I could do 20. How tall is the box?
I think you can totally do 20. I don't even remember. I think it's like below shin height.
That's,
I don't know, I'm
still decently high to do 71. Yeah. There's not, that's, okay. I don't want to get into that too much. Because I'm going to get upset at myself for a second. She also wants to know, why do you have a tattoo on your middle finger? How did that happen?
Oh, I hate her. I have two tattoos on my middle finger. I don't know which one she's talking about. One we did together. We did like a stick and pokes. She did one on her wrist and I did one on my middle finger. And then one day I just woke up, like literally that day, and I was like, I want to get another tattoo. And so I like called every single tattoo parlor that was open in Salt Lake, and like only one was for walk-ins, and I got a tattoo, and I like looked at it and cried because I was like, I hate this.
Did you cover it up? Is it still there?
No, it's still there. I like it. I think, I don't know. I'm like really on the verge of getting all my tattoos removed or like
all
getting
of them?
Couple more. Yeah, I'm
wait, I don't know. Or getting a couple more. Which one? I don't know. What do you mean? What do you mean both? How can you do both items?
Well, I kind of like them, but I kind of don't. So I don't know. I'm
sick.
Like,
okay. Very fun.
I'm pretty indecisive, if you cannot tell.
No, I didn't get that from that at all. I thought that I pretty much.
I know what I want. I'm gonna get it.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. KB Jailunas. They should give like sounding out guides for Instagram handles for this.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello. Can you hear me? Okay. All right. KB something something. Let's find this. KB Galunius. I don't know. I don't know how to say any of these. What's your dream skiing destination?
Kara. She's my good friend from St. Mike's.
How do you say her last name?
Galunius.
Galunius. Okay. KB Galunius.
She got me. I think I want to go to the Alps and ski. I think that'd be so cool. And like eat really good food.
So it's the Alps. Why do you think it's the Alps beyond just the food? Why do you think it's the Alps? Because I feel like
everyone says that.
No, everyone says Alaska.
Alaska Mines would be cool. I think they're tied. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Right. That's really funny. Why would you pick the Alps?
I just feel like I've seen it in the most, and Alaska, but I've just seen a lot of really cool footage come out of there and like a lot of really cool playful lines, and it just looks really cool. I can't think of something specific. There's not like one thing I want to ski. It just sounds like there's a lot of things to do, and that sounds really cool.
Mm. Yeah, it's more than just the skiing. All right, we'll end on this one. Malchek wants to know, I want to hear about angulation and turns. Megan is one of the most poised and solid skiers. Fist emoji. Emojis that's always so like read weirder than they are. Yeah, he's totally. Such a nice You're guy. Like, have you met him? Josh Malchak. He's like he. Used
oh my
to
god!
Be
yeah, the. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so nice. Yeah. Sorry, his handle threw me off. I met him at. Oh, that's so kind. I met him at the powder event too. Yeah, and it's so funny. When I went there, I was like, "Can someone give me an internship here? Like, please, I'll do anything." So I was talking to him about being an intern, and that's the only thing I talked to like reps about being an intern for. He's so kind. Yes. Thank you, Josh. Turns in angulation. I don't even know. Like
a lot of people have questions, not to like super interrupt you, but like a lot of people had questions about your turns. Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 people, including Josh, had questions about turns for you. So
wow, that's so kind.
I feel like that must be a good thing.
That's so cool. Thank you. I don't even know how to answer this question because I feel like it's one of those things where I just can remember like very little things, like tidbits growing up when people like were either coaches were mean to me or like people said things to me and it really stuck with me. I remember my coach put like it was like a wedge, like a piece of wood wedge between the back of my calf and my boot, because I was like not flexing my boots, and it hurt, and I was like, this sucks. But I remember like really getting to the front of my boot, and then I remember another coach, I don't even remember what we were working on, but I did it, whatever we were talking about, like one time, and he was like, okay, Megan, like you have to do this now 1,000 more times. And I remember feeling so defeated. And then I remember like Marcus Kasten has some of the prettiest turns ever. And I was like, Marcus, like, how do you do this? And he was like, just get your forearm on the ground. So there's like very little like things that I can like pick out. But for me, I think it was just like growing up and having really good coaches and listening to them. And I did really well in slalom growing up. So like snappy, quick turns come very natural to me. Mm. And it's something I really enjoy.
Awesome. All right, Megan, where can people find you on social media? Where can people follow along on the pro career? Like where can people find you? Like plug away, and anything else you want to plug or talk about, feel free. This is yours.
Thank you so much. My Instagram handle is Megan_Dingman. You can follow me on Facebook. I don't post that much, but that's mainly it. And thank you so much for having me. It was so fun.
And everyone for the questions. Yeah, no. And honestly, you got a ton of questions. And to me, every time someone gets questions, that means like people give a shit about them. And I think that's really important. That says something about what you're doing. And I think that's a really important part of the whole experience. Like people give a shit about you. So yeah, that's a good thing.
Thank you. You made me feel so special.
That was episode number 138. Is that right? 128? 138, I think. With Megan Dingman. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I really, really enjoyed this conversation. Megan's awesome, and I think that comes across very clearly in this episode. Let me know who you guys want to see on the show. Let me know who we should talk to next. The plan is to have this Thursday, we're going to have Taylor Lundquist on the show. That's definitely a highlight for me. And then we're going to have a whole bunch of other people coming soon. So let me know who you want to see, and we'll go from there. All right. Thanks. Bye.